was once at a place. They have called me back a second time. And I started out by saying something I shouldn't have. I said, this time I did something right last time, that you called me back. And somebody yelled from the crowd, no, the way it works is we'll keep calling you until you get it straight. Everything really depends how it falls into place. Yama says, I think it was the day to come. I feel myself, I was shocked and sire from the words of the Maradasra. Sometimes the solution is so simple to change our lives and to bring flesh into the picture. We go looking for it someplace else. And I said, he has an ace tzara. You know, he's really mafresh challah 40 days. He said shira shira 40 days in a row. He said perik shira 40 days in a row. He said, try opening up a black gemara. That he never thought of. And I think it's the obvious that you're here for. Based on Yisrael Salanter's Yartzeit, Rav Shlomo Feinblum and the Lovitz used to say from Rav Yisrael Salanter three things. The daf tan, the daf nish oiftan. The daf tan, the daf nish optan. The daf tan, the daf zich nish fartan. Le'lecha ha'malacha ligma. It's not our job to change the world. Our job is to try. It's not our job to try to prove a point. Our job is to try. And it's not even our job to get so involved in what we're doing that takes over the world. The Rav Anishim says, just try. I was in a hotel earlier on last year. And I went to the mikveh right before Shabbos, and they opened up the inside through the pool to get to the mikveh. So I figured, we used to do a lot of swimming, I'll jump in, I'll do a few laps. So I did a lap, and I went out. And on the way out of the mikveh, I couldn't find my yarmulke. Couldn't find my kappa. Everyone's looking, and Smemish getting very close to his man, and people, I can't find my yarmulke. No one has a spear yarmulke. I'm in a hotel over Shabbos, or it was a chizik Shabbos or something, the Shabbos and Svadis. I don't know if you've ever slept in a shtreimel, it's not so comfortable. So, I had a thought. I said, maybe when I jumped into the water, I didn't realize my yarmulke was on, it must have fallen off. So we go back to this pool, it's an Olympic sized pool. It's right before this man, and there, smack, in the deepest part of the pool. This is black yarmulke. It's great. So I take off my clothes and I jump in to try to get it. Now, I don't know how to explain this. It's, you know, it must be a way to do it, but if you land feet first and you have to bend down, which is not an easy feat when you get to the suspender age, you know what I mean to say. Another person gets on the scale by the doctor and he's pulling in the stomach. The doctor says it's not going to help. He says he owns the ants. The only way I can see the numbers is this way. I'm trying to bend down under the water and reach the yarmulke at the bottom of 15 feet of water on top. So after several attempts, I gave up. What should I do? I'm climbing out of the water, and a young man comes in, finding a young man. He's part of the choir, one of the mezamrim, or I don't remember which one was there. And he looks at me and goes, oh, well, what's the problem? It's like a minute or two to this man. So I show him the black yarmulke. He says, I'll get it. And he has to take off his white socks and untie everything. And then it's off. And he jumps in. He's trying to scoop it up. And he can't do it either. And he comes up. And now it's like really coming down to the wire. It's not right before this man. And his boss comes in. He wants to know why they're supposed to be practicing Rosh Hashanah Shabbos or something. What are you doing here? And he sees us both dripping wet. And he goes, what now? We both point to the yarmulke. And he says, I'll do it. Okay? And he takes off his jacket, his everything, and he goes diving in, and he makes one or two attempts. He's obviously much more skilled at this, and he comes up, he says, Chachamim, that's not a yarmulke, it's a cover to a drain pipe. So I said, imagine, after 120 years, right, we're out there from morning to night pursuing riches, and the malachim are laughing at it. What are you trying to pick up? What are you trying to pick up? And the bottom line is, what are they going to ask us in Shemayim? What did you do for yourself, like the Rav said? And we showed you the door, did you walk through it? I said, you people can say that you jumped into hot water for another yid. What can I say? They said, you'll have a story from it also. Everyone gets. When Reb Chaim Lajner came to the Vilna Gaon, he said he has a great idea to make a yeshiva of Lajner. Never was a yeshiva. A superstar yeshiva that's going to provide the Talmidei Chachamim and the Tzaddikim and the Rashi Yeshivas for the next generation. The Kiyam HaTaira. He was so sure that the Gra would do a jig. And the Vilna Gaon said to him, And all the ear went out of Reb Chaim's mouth. He got such a power response. So Peshtetzach, he got a power response from his rabbi. He never pursued it. A year later, the Vilna Gaon asked him what's doing with the yeshiva. So he said, I understood that the rabbi gave me a lack of a very positive thing. He said, no, you have to make the yeshiva. I was only worried when a person comes and says, this is the answer to all our problems, that's dangerous. You have to do what you can do. What's going to be, whether it's going to solve the problems or not, we don't know. You have to do what we can do. Don't get too excited about it. But that time, nishtach farta. You have to wake up every single day and say, Rabbi Hashem, today I did what I thought was right. Whether it's going to work or not is not my concern. The Alta of Navarra used to say, my father told me, never in his life did he ever do anything with the cheshbon, whether it's going to work or not. His cheshbon was one thing. Is it the right thing to do now? I do. And let life go on after. Somebody told me, it was by Rabbi Yoshev, Sefer Tzadik Lebracha, before a particularly very, very heated election in Eretz Yisrael. Where obviously Rabbi Yoshev felt that it was very important that certain people get in and certain people don't get in. And like the nature of what goes on before these elections, Rabbi Yoshev had to take off time from his precious couple of seconds to give his advice, and it was extremely heated. And it came the day of the election. Anybody's waiting to see what's going to be 3-4 seats, 5-6, 2-6 seats, this party, that party, all the last wheeling and dealing. And Rebel Yoshev's, the one who wanted to get in, won. And somebody came running up to Rebel Yoshev to give him the news, and he was like, no! Who cares? He could not get to Rebel Yoshev to give him the news for 12 hours until he caught him between a break, they'd say, for the sake. So Rebel Yoshev, they said, the Rebbe took off so much time. So he took off so much time because it was necessary to do it. But once he already finished his establish, to hear who won, who cares? That's really bit of time. I do what I do. When it happens, it happens. Can you imagine if we lived our lives this way? We wake up in the morning and we say, I'll do what I have to do. I take a blood test, fine. Doctor calls for the results, not again. But it happens, it happens. Right? Try shalom bias, I'll do whatever it takes. Did it work? I don't know. You can do it again? Sure, it's the right thing to do, I'll do it. Can you imagine how much of an easier life you would have? Our life would be very different. But we don't do it that way. We live a life of would-of, should-of, could-of. And that's why our blood pressure shoots to the roof. I heard from a Batchan once, He wasn't serious, I think. But it's a good line. He said, today, 80% of the people are on medications to calm them, anxiety, and so on. And we suffer from the 20% that aren't. Tell me, your great-grandfather needed Prozac? There wasn't anything to say. But the study showed, no, he didn't need it. Because your great-great-grandfather lived in an environment you didn't know. There may have been an ISIS on the other side of the world, but you didn't know about it. And if the day came in, you were invaded by the local, as it was a pogrom, you picked up the pieces, you got in the life. He didn't have wasn't planning his future. He didn't have access to all this information. He knew one thing. You woke up, you're up. He's staying by the Ani. Went to visit a yid in a nursing home, a tired yid. He went through hot and cold in his life. And they asked him, Baruch, how do you feel? Baruch Hashem. And they weren't feeling good in the morning. How did you feel this morning when you woke up? He looks at me and says, surprise. Imagine if we had an appreciation for life. Whatever happens, happens. So the Baruch Mayim Chayim, the Hela, the Baruch Mayim Chayim, the Chayim Chernovich, in the middle of his Shalashudas, suddenly got very fadvekas. He's in Shemayim, he's in Shalom Hab. And he comes back down, he says, you know, there was a big tumult now going up in Shemayim. He says, what was the tumult? He says, there were a bunch of neshamas that said, keep sending us back down into this world, begildul. And we're schlepped back up, keep sending us back down. Every time we come down, we make it, we blow it, right? Noyach le adam shalay nivra says the grog goes on gildul. Let's go on the first time. Most of the time, we mess up more than what we were sent down for. So what do you want? You don't want to go down again? Or else you're going to have a tickling. So the neshamas all got together and said, we're on strike. We're not going down. So what do you want? He said, give us one thing. Give us one thing that if we pass this test, we won't have to come back down. So there was a whole tumult that went all the way up to the Pamalia Shemayim. And a cruz came out from Shemayim. And the answer to them was, go through your whole life without once saying, if, would have listened to that child. If only, if, no ifs, no buts. Whatever happens is what's supposed to happen. You do what's right and you go right. If you can go through your whole life doing that, you have your day. No regrets. Now, can we? You can't. Because we're blinded by the perception that we're in control. And the more the world gets technologically advanced, and the more we feel in our hands, I have everything, we're more blinded by the fact that we think we're in control, and as a result, we're less and less happy. When you come to the Beis Medrash at night, and you open up a Gemara, and you say, Amar Abaye, Amar Rav, you know what you're saying? I don't know from nothing. I know my life is in your hands. Let's see what Abaye and Rav has to say. Somebody told me, it was Namir Yeshiva. His wife came home, and she went for a routine exam, and the doctor wanted something to be followed up. She went to an initial follow-up, and they were told it's going to require a more serious test. And suffice it to say, Rachmana Litzlan, she was going out of her mind. And that morning, she was going in for this test, and I want to get into specifics. And he ran to Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, the Rosh Hashiva and Mir Yeshiva, see the Shingon my Rebbe. He said, my Rebbe is not here, what do I do? Rosh Hashiva, you help me. He goes, I'm not a Rebbe. He says, you got to help me. My wife is going into the test. I'm learning up by Yeshiva already 5 years. I'm 16 years old near Yeshiva. So Shmuel Berenbaum said, he says, Rosh Hashiva does know. Like he was just going out of his mind and ran out. They came to the test. The surgeon said, biopsy not necessary. There's nothing. He called up the doctor. And they had an argument with him. Why are you pushing this appointment? It wasn't September. There's nothing here. And the doctor said, but he saw this and this. And the surgeon said, get new glasses. He doesn't see it. Okay. It was probably just an affection. It probably was. This man came back to Shmuel Berenbaum. I heard this on the senior man himself. He said, Rosh Hashiva, I got a new line, Rosh Hashiva. What did you do? No. You walked away. He said, I opened the Gemara, started learning. Amar Abaye. Then a thought went into my head. I said, you know, Abaye, Rava, I'm sitting in front of you for 60 years already. I never asked you anything. Do me a favor. Like, I don't know what the senior man wants in here. You just don't know what to do. You do it. That's what Shmuel Berenbaum said. Understand what it means when you open up a sefer? You're saying, Boyri Kalilamin, I am not in control. I'm in your hands. When your hands, you begin to see the meisim that the Rav said Rav Chaim Kanievsky showed. He says, Rav Yaakov Galinsky used to say, I'll prove to you that I'm greater than Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He says, because Erev Suk, Erev Pesach, Rav Chaim Kanievsky makes a Siyam HaShas, the Frost, the Freeze. He says, I went over to Rav Chaim, I gave him a bracha, next year you should make the same Siyam. And he gave me a bracha, you too? He said, my bracha was fulfilled. Don't you see? I'm greater than him, he says. Call the Kabbalah of Oil Taira, Mavira Minenu Oil Malchus Oil Derechemes. It's a reality. Pekude Hashem Yisharim is Samchelei. Because we learn to do something which is very difficult in this world, and that is to relinquish control. Now, basically my career started as a storyteller. And the Hemshach Advarim, I'm not going to get into the whole. I used to hang out at night with Eli Teitelbaum, Zichron LeBracha. And he was starting with the Daf Yomi, and he was doing phone lines and lights. And he had this whole system that he was creating. It was before computers, it was before internet lines. It was basically, he was a step ahead of himself. And I was in a nightclub. And I used to go there, I was on my way home, I used to go, and I was friendly with Eli, we would help out. And then the whole Daf Yomi process started, people started calling in, and it was an amazing feat of engineering for that time. We're talking 34 years ago. And one day, I'm sitting there at night, and a Yid walks in, and he says, he has a whole fight. What was the fight? He was doing Masechtas Moed Katan, and he was doing Eli Magalchen, and he decided that it's a bad old man if he does the Avelos Gemaras. He wants either the entire Masechta, so somehow there's Havlah, or he's not doing the Perik Eli Magalchen. So Eli told him, I just gave the sechta to someone else, can't take it away from him. He said, he's not doing it. He said, don't do it. So he walks away. So Eli turns to me, he said, now I'm in trouble. He says to me, you do it.
Me?
Little cunning guy?
Me?
And if this guy doesn't want to do the Avelis Gemara, what are you throwing it on me for? So I remember I ran to ask the Rabbi Svitka Rebbe, Zaini Zippenstark. I said, should I do it? He says, yeah. I said, but it's the Avelis Gemara. He said, so what? So I said, is it a bad simon? He said, there's no such a thing as Torah being a bad simon. Torah is only brach. I heard that some Sefer fasted when he learned Eli Magalchen. So he told me that some Sefer fasted when he learned Eli Treifus. You know anyone who fasted when he learned Eli Treifus? He's a Springer Ein. And since the Rosh bringing an Avelis, he says through Torah, that's the biggest shmir on Avelis, he said. And I did it. And Baruch Hashem, there was a Siyata Nishmaya. And thus started my career. Now I want to tell you, when I was in yeshiva, the one thing that I was never good at is any, even math. I was never good at cheshbon. The svar is cheshbon, I fall flat. I just stunt. You know, 64 plus 33. You told it right now, I would go ah. You know, give me a minute, I could work on it. But otherwise, I'm just never good at cheshbon. And where was I? I mean, I flunked every math region except for one where it was a very kind proctor there, but we won't get it. Whenever it came to a cheshbon gemara, I was like. You know, Yavamis is like, great. I did the Ivra on the Dafim and Erevin at different places. So whenever I would take a perik at a time with Dafi Yomi to say the Daf, I always look through. You know, you can tell which Gemaras are like, you know. And once I blew it. I think it was Erechim, is that Rashi with the Toyas, with the Ziva, with the Nida, you know. This is like, you know, some Rashi. Real Cheshbon back and forth. And it looked to me like a nice perik, and I said, Gavri Gemaras, and all of a sudden I turned to Amit and I go, Sevet Menishkin. And I come back to Eli Tavo and say, somebody else got to do this stuff. No one else is doing that stuff. And I sat down there, and I remember looking at this, and I said, I can't do this. I can't, whatever happened to that Mishnah, my Sushengi with her, Adal Pundula Kav, and I was like, what? Next Mishnah. I said, I cannot do this Mishnah. This is like Cheshbon based on mistake after Cheshbon after correcting the first mistake, another Cheshbon correcting the first two mistakes, another Cheshbon correcting. I said, there's no way. But I had no choice, because I had to save the staff. So I went upstairs in a classroom in Tarvadas, and I locked the door, and I sat and I schwitzed for 6 hours, 7 hours straight. I want to tell you something, I could not use Art Scroll, because it was not done yet. It was pre-Art Scroll. I could not listen to the tape, because I was the one that was supposed to do the tape. I was on my own. I had those red, traditional red Gemaras, the Sensino Gemaras. You needed six dictionaries for every single word. That wasn't going to help me with this rush. If you would have told me, I was going to sit there for 6 hours, I wound up sitting there for like 10 hours straight. If you would have told me, Fischl Schechter, was going to sit 10 hours straight on Rashi, I would say, in the fairy books. I have, you know, ADA, my zitz flesh is about 6 seconds at a time, but it gets, you know, overheated. But I had no choice. And at the end of that full day, I was not one mashahu closer to understanding this Rashi than I was the day before. And let me tell you, I went to some people in the Spanish, they had Rahmanis on me, but it didn't help. It was like who's it? No one in it. Who's going to get into this Rashi? And it was 4 weeks ahead. Nobody was doing the daf then. And I sat down the second day, and I want to tell you something, I cried. Ay, big Baal Madrega. He cries, Avinu Malkeinu, to understand learning. No, I cried because I was scared, I was embarrassed, out of my wits. What am I going to do? There's no L'shem Shemayim to this. I guess when it comes to limit of Torah, you know, it's not L'shem Shemayim, but L'shem accepts it. And somehow, at the end of the second day of like 12 hours, it like flashed. It wasn't like a gradual lifting of the clouds. It was like, ah, that's it. And the next day, it took me another 10 hours to say it. And after I said it, I said, nah. There's as much as you appear until you say it out. You don't really understand it. And I did it the next day. My wife asked me at one point where I was for the last 3 weeks. And I got it. I got it. I got it. I knew, I simplified it, and I got it. It was just so sweet, so simple. But it wasn't, after sitting 18 hours, it was Yigarti Mitzos. It was a Mitzi. And I remember when it played, it was someone on my block, a marketeer, he came up to me and said, you made it so simple, what's took you like an hour, the whole thing, from here to say, I want to tell you what's frightening to me. That if somebody would have come over to me and said, give me a shuah deraisa with a sefer Torah in your hand, that you cannot do this Rashi, so we don't do shuahs, even if it's endless. But let's say there was no chumrah not to say a shuah. I would have had no problem taking that sefer Torah and holding it in my hands, okay? And giving a shuah deraisa. I would have believed that there's no way in the world I can do the Rashi. Don't have the head for it. So what happens? What happens to us when you commit yourself to limud Torah? And the Rebbe Yisrael says it's true, you don't have the head for it. But I can open your heart. I can open your mind. So I started doing the shiurim. I still continued my storytelling career. So I was like, right hand, left hand. And someone came over to me and said, es pasisht. You can't be a storyteller and a magashir. I said, is that a shubas of Kiveja? Is that a shubas of Yehuda? Tell me where. He says it's Seichel Hayosha. Okay, one person's Seichel is not someone else's Seichel. And actually one person's sense of Yashus is not someone else's sense of Yashus. So I went to ask my Mashiach designer, as if I said, is it for covenant for me to keep saying stories to kids with all the animation, the voices? He said to me, no, it's not for covenant. I said, should I stop? He said, no. Okay, error, let's go back. So Mashiach saw I was a little to read it, so he said, a little confused. He said, what don't you understand? He said, you asked me if it's for covenant for you to continue saying stories. But whose covenant are you worried about? Hashem's covenant or your own covenant? You worried about your own covenant? Yeah, maybe. You worried about the Divine Hashem's covenant? He has no problem. So you decide whose covenant is more important to you. So my storytelling career continues. And I walked in, doing this for like decades. And I'm probably the only one in the world that told a story to Yeshiva and Yeshiva Flatbush, the boys and girls together, with huge, big Israeli flags behind, and a half hour later in Brooklyn, Williamsburg, it was the same story. And I walk in one day to say a story. This goes back about 2 years ago, in a Leipzig, which will go unnamed for obvious reasons. There's a sixth and seventh grade. Those are tough kids. Those kids are tough. And I'm sitting there, people say, well, you like speaking to adults, you like speaking to kids better. I said, the mind of an adult says, well, less, like you're all here, you're a captive audience, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? What is an adult going to do? Look at his phone, look at his watch. And the kids, it's related. I used to give a shiur in Washington Heights someplace. Remember, there was an old man. He used to make me start at 9:32 exactly. As soon as I started, he would go, soar all the way through. And then when I would say at the end, the Eidish is a health, and he would pop up. Like, amazing. So he told me I shouldn't feel bad. He used to do it to Rav Schwab's home in Rachel. So I said, really? I said, what did Rav Schwab say? So Rav Schwab said it was a big covenant for him. I said, what's the covenant? He said, it says in your Achaim Kaddish, when a person sleeps, elements of his neshama go up to Shemayim. So imagine there is Shemayim, and neshama comes up. Hello, where are you from? Neshwab Shiva. 2 seconds later, I'm in neshama. Where are you from? Neshwab Shiva. 3 seconds later, I'm in neshama. How many people have I this year? Every second, someone else is coming. But kids are real. You know, kids, if you don't get them by the story, they're like, especially in the New York area, okay, I'll be fine. So I start saying the story, and something happens to me. This guy almost never happened. Maybe once before, but never on this level. And I tried to make a joke in the story, which I thought was age appropriate. And one kid goes, oh, he thinks he's so funny. Eh? And I learned in life, every drop of cover you have, there's always an equal amount of his youngest. I knew. And I could try to continue the story later, and this other kid, it must have been like the guy that, every time I tried to make a joke, so this whole class starts going, oh, he's so funny, like this sarcastic, facetious kind of a obnoxious laughter. And also that spread like wildfire. So I scrapped all the jokes, but it didn't help. Every time I started talking, they all started this laughter. And the Menal and the Melander, they're all gone in the coffee room, probably being Isaac and Yonam running through the Shabbat. They left me with all this bit. And I'm going out of my mind. And I want to tell you that I was a split second away from saying, roll a bunch of chassafim and storm out of there. And I said, my storytelling career is over. I had it. But I didn't do it. I couldn't leave all the kids alone. Second of all, I knew they would go, ooh, right? I knew I could give them their result. And I'm stuck. And finally, and there's like a flash through my head. It says, my father used to tell me, it says, Hashem says every day you hear the baskel, it gets a little like flash. I got that flash at the moment. The flash was like this, shechta. Maybe Hashem wants you to tell a different story. Instead of being angry at the kids, it's their fault, and I was angry at the parents, but now I was angry at the parents that raised their parents. I was like, maybe Hashem wants you to change. So I should change stories. So I said, okay. I I stopped the story. That's fine. I start a totally different story, which they probably thought, as a nature of storytellers, you go to a different story. At the end, you put the two together. But they're waiting for these two stories to come together, and they can wait. But the second story had no chance to the first story. And what was the second story? The only reason I said it is because I heard it that day. I stopped the second story. And I said, there's a Yidin Yishalayim, his name is Yaakov Meir Schechter, and he has a daughter who's very, very not well. And once, Yaakov Meir, if you know him, was an Ish Chadesh. When he was engaged, he found out that his wife was emotionally not well, and he fulfilled on himself better to be thrown into a fiery oven than embarrass someone Barabin, and he married her anyway and suffered his whole life, and still he never has Charata because he did the right thing. His daughter is not well. And every Rosh Chodesh, she wheels her up to Ramat Shlomo, the top of the mountain, and lets her breathe out a little bit. And one day she says, Abba, Tawagati, you love me. He says, of course I love you. I love you with your whole heart? Yes. Will you do anything I ask you to do? He says, yes. She says, push the wheelchair off the cliff, she says. Can't do that. She says, because you don't love me, that's why. You can do it. Maybe Yaakov Meir is like stone. And just then somebody comes by and drops a cigarette. There's a little bit of a flash left on the cigarette. And he picks it up, he says, Man tachta. Du zeist, der fire? She says, yes. Look at the sun. You see the sun? Which is a stronger fire? So the sun is a billion, trillion times more. He says, I love you with my whole heart. But my whole heart is just this little bit of the cigarette. And the Rebbeinu Shem's love to you is like the love of the sun. So the Rebbeinu Shem loves you a trillion times more. And he's giving you now a heart that's beating, and lungs that are breathing. You want my pitsy love to go into the way of Hashem's love? So she says, okay. She's the couple, she goes up. And with this, it becomes dead silent in the room, and I finish the story and I walk up, and then the Manal came back in. He heard the story, and he goes, I think that was an appropriate story for a kid above, for 6th grade, 7th grade. I told him, for your 7th grade, yes, and I walk out. That night I get a call. Mr. Breen, whatever. You tell the story to this Meisen? Uh-oh. I had a Sunday. He's going to give it to me now. I said, I'm going to give it to this guy. If he says one word why I told such a story, I'm going to tell his son is Mechutzah, Ben Mechutzah, Ben Mechutzah, Ben Mechutzah. I am going to give it to his son, man. And I am ready to walk. He goes, I want to thank you very much. Which is a mile of talking as opposed to texting. You have a minute to actually hear what the other person says. I says, why do you want to thank me? He says, they have a kid that's not well, a sibling that's not well. And this particular child does not respond very well, even to therapy. He just doesn't talk. It's all hurt and pain in him. And today he said to the therapist, he wants to tell him a story. The therapist was surprised. The kid normally does not talk. And he told him the entire story. And after he told him the entire story, he asked the therapist the question whether Hashem loves their child as much as Hashem loves their sibling as much as Hashem loves Yaakov Meir Shechter's daughter. And the therapist said, of course. So he said, okay, so like Hashem loves him so much more than I do even, and if he's putting him through this, he knows what he's doing. And the kid was somewhat relieved. So he says to me, Rabbi Shechter, I want to ask you something. How do you know which story to say? I said, it comes with experience. I said, I know how close I was to storm out of there and say a whole bunch of us up in. The Rav said before about an open door in our lives. How many doors are available to us? How many opportunities are available to us? If we learn not to try to change the world, to try to understand what a Kapara gives us. Limit HaTorah is the key to those doors. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu have the seichel, we take advantage, and we walk through it. Good to know.